Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Second week of a series we started last week. Who was here last week? Who bought some KFC because of last week? No? Okay, right. Only the youth. I actually had a few youth guys go, man, I just wanted KFC after last week. So, last week we actually shared our mission as a church. And we want to do this because Beacon, this church isn't Beck and I, this is us on mission to reach the Redlands for Christ. And in amongst all that, last week we shared why we called this church Beacon Church just over a year ago. We shared about what it's like to be a lighthouse in the community. I tell you what, so many people sent me stuff on lighthouses this week. In fact, I got sent a documentary series from one guy in our church. It was called The Secret Life of Lighthouses, okay? And I'm like, what is this? And I actually went and watched it. And I want to show you a picture here. This is a lighthouse that was on this documentary, okay? And this is Beachy Head Lighthouse that's been in existence for over 300 years, saving people's lives through a really rocky and dangerous, perilous part of water. But what's really fascinating as I was watching this documentary, I can't believe I was actually watching a lighthouse documentary, right? I was like, man, I'm nerding it up right now. And I wanted to show you the video, but SBS is really serious about protection rights, okay? So you can, I think, see it on SBS Demand. But this lighthouse in particular caught my attention because it's down on the actual ocean floor. Like, you can see where it is. The actual lighthouse that was built at this point used to be on the top of those cliffs behind it. But you notice it's all sand. And over the years, it's eroded and kept falling away and falling away. And they realize the actual old lighthouse is still there, but they're trying to protect it. But they know that in a few years' time, it's going to collapse. And so what happened was 300 years ago, they went, the sand's disappearing. We need to build this on rock. And so they actually brought in hundreds and hundreds of tons of rock to build this lighthouse on it. And it was so interesting watching this. They said the tons, hundreds of tons of rock, allow this lighthouse to stand whatever it gets hit by the wind, the wave, and every circumstance, okay? Because of the foundation. And Beacon, as a church, we want you to know that we want to build this foundation strong. We build it on Christ here. You know, our firm foundation, we sung about it in that song, the second song today. Christ is our firm foundation. He's the rock that everything with church is built upon. His word, the truth. And in fact, those rocks, there are a few things that we want to be known for as a church. And over the next few weeks, I want to encourage you to come to every week over the next few weeks. And actually, I know you should just come every week, right? But, you know, I'm going to encourage you because we're actually looking at the values, those rocks, those things that we want to hold to as a church community, that we're known for these things. Every one of them is connected and anchored to Christ. But the first value I'm actually going to be looking at today is we want to be a church that worships in spirit and truth. A church that worships in spirit and truth. Now, you might have automatically just gone, well, we do worship. We just worship just before we sang some songs. The worship songs, they're the slower ones, right? The ones where we put our hands up. You know, we don't have to get energetic, okay? Growing up, I used to like the worship songs. Never a big praise fan, but you know, the worship songs. No, worship is so much more than that. In fact, the Hebrew understanding of worship was an absolute posture of submission, of surrender, of bowing down, understanding there is a God who is sovereign above all things, and we are not God. That is what worship is. We go all in that headspace. And yes, singing's part of it, but if we think that worship's just singing, we're going to miss it. And I actually want to open up to a passage of scripture today. And if you've got your Bible with you, open this up in your own Bible. We will have it up on the screen. But this is what I want to read. It's a story about Jesus, and we're going to pick up John 4:3-26. It says this, so he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? It says his disciples had gone into town to buy food. So he's there alone with this woman. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did all his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't go thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." Her response, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we worship must be in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and the truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." All right, good solid bit of passage of scripture there. And I want to have a look at this passage of scripture today and draw some things from it. This is an amazing part of scripture. I want to go back to verse 23 just to highlight this. "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." Our first value as Beacon Church, we want to be a church that worships in spirit and in the truth. And you know, I want to have a look at what Jesus is saying to this woman at the well at midday. I want to have a look at this powerful passage. And you know, there's so many ways I could go with this message, with this story. We could have a look at the fact that here's Jesus first hanging out with a woman, talking to her, a Samaritan woman, whom, by the way, he's not supposed to. When the disciples come back and find him talking to this Samaritan woman, they're like, "What are you doing? Like, are you crazy?" I could go into that. I could even look at the fact that Jesus talks about living water in this passage. He says, "Hey, if you're thirsty, if you drink from the living water, you're going to have eternal life." That's pretty big. But what I actually want to look at, the fascinating thing about this passage, where he talks about spirit and truth and how he deals with this woman. Notice that Jesus gets to a point where he calls out some things about, "Hey, you've got a many husbands," but first he goes, "Go get your husband, all right? Go back and get your husband. If you want this living water, go and get your husband." And she says, "I have no husband." And he replies, "You had five husbands and now you're on your sixth," and just calls out her life. And quite frankly, this woman is quite offended by this Jesus. Can you imagine if someone just stopped you in Capalabar and just started calling out your dirty laundry? "In fact, you yelled at your child this morning." You know, like there's this, like, you know, "And you did this and you did that." So this woman is quite taken back by Jesus calling out all this stuff that's hidden. And what she does what most of us do. She's like, "We need to change the subject here." Okay. She's literally like, "Oh, look at the weather. Did someone say KFC?" Like, you just sort of two chicken references, 2 weeks. I need a sponsorship. Okay. Like it's, but this is what's happening. The next part of this scripture, you see a complete shift. Jesus has called out something very personal about this woman's life, and she decides, let's change the subject, and she starts talking like this. She says, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Now, what's actually happening in this moment, the Samaritan woman returns to the number one argument that's between Samaritan people and the Jewish since the beginning of all time. The Samaritans worship on a mountain. The Jews worship in Jerusalem. And they fight over this. This is why they don't talk to each other. They're so angry at each other about who's right and who's wrong and where to worship. Also, if you look into the Samaritan belief system, it's very similar to the Jewish system. However, the Samaritans are like a breakaway sect, and they decided that the most important thing was spiritual things, mysticism, and occultic kind of practices. And so if you're a Samaritan, you're a spiritual person. You're always looking for spiritual experiences. That's what you did as a Samaritan. But if you're a Jew, the greatest form of following God was to know the word of God and the scriptures, to know the 613 laws that you had to abide by and follow to find God's, blessing on your life. And that's what they clashed over. She's like, man, I'm just spiritual, baby. I'm just spiritual. I'm a spiritual being. I'm out here looking for the spirit. And so she just decides, this guy's obviously a prophet. He can answer this once and for all, so I can go back to town and tell people the truth, because we've been arguing this for years, and clearly he knows something about me. He's got some supernatural gift. He told me about my five husbands. So I'm going to ask him. And Jesus, knowing her heart, what I love so beautifully about this, Jesus, knowing her heart, doesn't call her out for being some wicked person because she's messed up and in spiritual things. Isn't like you're a weirdo, you're into your crystals and your tarot cards, you're looking at the stars and all this, you know, stuff that's away from Jesus. He doesn't say, repent. What he says kindly, he says, hey, just so you know that there's going to be a time where you don't worship on the mountain, you're not going to worship in Jerusalem either. He says this in verse 22, you Samaritans worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. He's like, just nicely kind of going, hey, just so you know, you've been worshiping and trying to find God in all these spiritual things. So that's what you've been doing. Us Jews, we have the answer. And so you got to actually realize the answer comes from the Jews. Salvation is from the Jews. And Jesus doesn't shut down her spirituality. He actually almost says, hey, I see you're spiritual. You know that God is spiritual and you've been seeking him out for a very long time. In fact, a woman who's had five husbands is seeking out a whole bunch of experience from looking for love, looking for experience, looking for more and seeking and seeking. Here's the deal. Who knows, the world is full of people like that. Everyone is seeking. Seriously. And you know, the scripture says, clearly Jesus says in Matthew 7:7, in the New Living Translation, it says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. What I love about Jesus, he's pretty much just saying, hey, you're a seeker. You're just off track a little bit. Let me show you the way. And Beacon Church, we talked about it last week. We want to guide people home. We want to guide them to the truth. Every person I come across, I feel like has a spiritual experience these days. Even this week, I'm trying to sell a property at the moment. And I got this real estate agent that I met years ago. I promised her, I said, hey, I'm not selling now. If I ever sell, I'll call you. That was like 5 years ago. So I kept my word. She was in shock. I said, I told you I'd call you. She's okay. So she found me a buyer last week, but the buyer has been horrible to her. Like, I'm talking abusing her, causing hell for this real estate agent. She's calling me every day. But I had a contract. She's like, look, we've got to stick with this buyer. They've offered you the best amount and, you know, they're going to sign the contract. Anyway, it got to a point, got to a head about a week ago where this lady is just like, this woman who's buying your house, she's crazy, man. Like, you're just going to understand. And so I actually prayed on Monday last week because I hadn't signed the contract. I said, God, if this is my buyer, I'll sign tomorrow. If not, I need you to bring a buyer along today. Exceed my expectation. You bring a buyer today and we'll shift it so this woman's not abused anymore. 4 o'clock that afternoon, my real estate agent calls me. You'll never believe it. We have another buyer. Much better, much easier to deal with. And I just said to her, how good is God? And she goes, oh, are you spiritual? I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. She goes, yeah, you know, honestly, I've been putting out like manifestations to the universe and I've been doing this and this. And so I believe that something's going on, right? And so here's the interesting thing. That's not paying your rent. This is just actually just how people function these days. Look, I don't think it's very rare you can walk into someone's house that doesn't have something spiritual in their home that they don't even understand, right? There's a little Buddha somewhere, or there's some kind of little crystal somewhere, or there's some kind of inspirational footprints quote on the back of a toilet door. You know, there's just something. And it's just like this mysticism. It's like people are seeking God everywhere. They're seekers. And as Christians, we shouldn't poo-poo that. We should get excited because they're hungry to know the truth. And there's an open door. I want seekers in the church. Why? Because it says those who seek me will find me. I want seekers. And I'm, you know, the whole week I'm like still, it's stuff going on with this property stuff. And every time I talk, I'm like, God, give me a way to share the truth of who you are. Because she is a seeker who just doesn't know which way to go. As I said in verse 22, Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, you Samaritans worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Further on in 24, Jesus highlights to this woman, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and truth. In other words, Jesus is like, hey, woman, you're not far off. There's so much more to God than just knowing the book, just knowing the laws. And he's kind of pointing out to her, there's going to be a time where spirit and truth will be together. Those guys who know the word of God back to front will also have the spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit hasn't come at this time. The Holy Spirit hasn't manifested for everyone to be able to access. And so the only people that had the Spirit of God were the prophets, those that were called out individually for special occasions. But he's like, hey, there's going to be a time where, yes, God is actually a spirit. And yes, you're onto something here, but you're going to find the fullness of God when you have both. And the answers are found with the Jews within the teachings of the law. Yes, you're right. You're spiritual, but you need to know the Hebrew scriptures. Remember, Jesus is a rabbi. He's a teacher of the Hebrew scriptures. He knows them inside and out. At the age of 12, he was teaching the Hebrew scriptures. So he's probably sitting there going, everything that I am, everything that I know, you need to know. It's going to make this all come alive. But spirit is just as important. I think sometimes in our church, we just want the things of the Holy Spirit. I have had conversations all the time like, man, church was great today, but I love it when you've got the Holy Spirit going on, right? Or there's like this, that's what I want more of. Or then other people go, man, it was pretty like loaded, heavy Holy Spirit. We just need more of the word, you know? Give me more of the scripture. I just want the word. And truthfully, as Beacon Church, we want you to have both. It's not one or the other. We want you to have both. In fact, if you look at Jesus' teaching in John 14 to 15, he says this about the Holy Spirit that's coming, this thing that we can have access to. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. Where are the commands found? In the scripture. And as a result of that, he says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world can't accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He's saying, hey, first things first, keep my commands. You need to know the word of God. Second, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit who's going to be within you. Later on in this passage of scripture in verse 23, it says this, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Once again, what's he alluding to? The word of God. My Father will love them and he will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to my Father who sent me. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father I'll send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. You know, I reckon sometimes we get confused with the Holy Spirit. We think the Holy Spirit is the supernatural edge that the Pentecostal Christians have. And we think of all the giftings that come from the Holy Spirit. And it's true. In fact, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you accepted Christ, you can ask for the gifts. Guess what? Ask for the gifts because they are gifts. And God gives them generously for those who want them. In 1 Corinthians 12, here's some of the gifts. It talks about these gifts, and I'm just going to point them out. There's a gift of wisdom. There's a gift of knowledge. There's a gift that gives faith. A gift that gives the gifts of healing. You can pray and see miracles. The ability to prophesy. The ability to discern spirits. The ability to speak in tongues, different language. Another gift that explains those languages. And all of those are the same Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't stop there. What is the Holy Spirit's purpose? We see it in that last verse, in verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will what? Will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. There is an expectation that you've already gone and learnt it. The Holy Spirit's job is to remind you of what the Scripture says. The Holy Spirit is anchored to Jesus, is anchored to the truth of the Word of God. It's not airy-fairy. It's not just a feeling. If you are chasing feelings, you'll be in a different church every week. It has to be anchored to the Word of God. And as a church, we want a holistic approach to following Jesus. It's not one nor the other. It's both. You will hear the Word of God preached here and taught here, but we're also believing for miracles to break out, for healings to happen, for prophetic words to come true. That is our heart. Jesus is saying to the Samaritan woman, there's going to be a time where the spiritual things is going to be just as important as head knowledge and knowing about God and the things of God and knowing what He wants for us, what things to be obedient to. There's going to be a time where the Spirit is just going to be as just as important as those 613 rules. In fact, Jesus Himself catches the religious people, because the religious people come to Jesus. Remember, He's a rabbi. He's a teacher. He knows all these laws. And they come to Jesus and say, Jesus, which out of all the 613 rules are the most important? They want to catch Him off guard. And what is Jesus' response? He says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. For the Jewish leaders, they just had the mind thing down. But He's actually saying your heart, He goes, all your emotions, love Him with all your emotions, your soul, your spirit. You're going to have to love Him with your spirit and your mind. Every part of your being, I'm calling you to worship with, to have an understanding, a full experience of what God has for you. We want to worship in spirit and truth. As your pastor, I want you to have everything that God has for you, to have a fullness of faith. You know, unfortunately, I've seen this in churches, and even in the Redlands this happens. Truthfully, it does. There's this us and them mentality. We speak the truth of the Word of God. We know theological conversations are what we're about. And we're going to preach the Word of God in and out, and that's what's most important. And then there's the Pentecostal churches sometimes can get a little bit like, man, Holy Spirit, every moment, every day, let's be fallen over. Let's be, you know, like, let's get like, just go crazy, right? Hang off the chandeliers. The thing is, it's not one or the other. It shouldn't be. In fact, I've noticed if it's just the Word of God without the power of the Holy Spirit, it gets real dry real quick. It becomes religion, what I can't do, what I can do. And then we get caught up arguing with each other about stuff that doesn't matter. And God's there going, are you kidding me? There's a lost world out there that needs Jesus and a real experience with a real living God that has living water for anyone who is thirsty. And then when it comes to the things of the Spirit, if it's just spiritual, I'm telling you, it just gets weird. Gets real weird real quick, and everyone goes, is that weird? Oh, no, it's not weird. Well, show me in the Scripture where that happened. Back that up with the Scripture, okay? I know of churches in the States, true story, I remember looking into this when I was in my teen years. There's some churches that get so caught up in little passages, they want to be so supernatural, like, oh, it says serpents can bite you and you won't die from poison. So they bring in poisonous snakes and make people bite them. Like, get them to bite people. If you drop dead, you're not faithful enough. Meet Jesus quick, I mean, but you know. But I'm like, this is so, like, when you're super spiritual and you have no word, then you're going to fall flat. And you're going to get disappointed because you don't have the truth within you that anchors you through the storms. You're not built on the rock that is Jesus. You know, one of the things in this church that we've been doing in the last few weeks, there's Bible studies popping up left, right, and center in this church through Connect. I know there's a woman's one that Beck's halfway through a 4-week study. They're going to start another one probably next term. I think there's about 28 women who are studying the Bible. Great. Going to know what the Bible says. I know Johan's running a men's group. They're studying the Word of God. I know for myself and Aiden from Up in Kids, in a 2 weeks' time, we're going to start a men's Bible study. You don't know what the Bible says? Come and learn. If you're someone who goes, man, I've come from a traditional church, I know more scriptures than Az. I could be up there preaching. You've already pulled apart my passages and stuff, and you're like, oh, I don't know about that, right? If you're someone like that, but you're like, you've never experienced the Holy Spirit, can I tell you, you need that activated power in your life. You need it. You will not get through this life without the Holy Spirit with you. It will supercharge your faith. You know, I know for myself when it comes to things of the Holy Spirit, Beck and I, when we were dating, Beck comes from a really traditional church, Uniting Church. She knows the word inside and out. But man, lift your hands in church. Oh no, you know, like it was very, and you know, she used to call herself a closet Pentecostal, right? She'd get to conferences. Oh, thank God I can lift my hands, you know? And, but not in front of the, we're a traditional church. Okay. We don't do that around here. And I remember Beck was even talking to me one day. We were just dating first year, and she was asking about speaking in tongues and different things from, you know, supernatural Holy Spirit stuff. And I said to her, babe, don't worry about it. I've never worked in the gift of prophecy. I don't know. It's not that big a deal. And I was actually driving to a youth camp to speak that day. And I got off the phone, went to this camp. There was a worship session, and I get given the microphone to share. And I was just going to share a testimony, a story. And I got on stage, and I just felt deep within my spirit. And you know this, because God will stir you and speak to you. There's an inkling, a stirring. And this thing said, sing. And I was like, no. I don't sing, God. Do you want, like, everyone to turn from you? Like, I'm not a singer. I hate singing. And you're like, oh, I've seen you sing at church, Az. I'm telling you now, if you ever see me sing up here, it's just obedience. There's something that God sometimes asks, I'm like, oh, Lord, again. Like, seriously, it kills me inside, but I know that God wants to do something, right? But on this day, I'm like, no, God. My own sister was sitting in the crowd. She is a professionally trained classical singer, okay? And I didn't get that gift. And I'm sitting there, oh, God, really? So I had my eyes shut because I didn't want to look at the people. And I started to sing really badly. But as soon as I started to sing, God just goes, pray. So I said, I'm going to pray for some people. And we started praying. I started praying for some people. And I can only explain it like this. The supernatural gift of being able to see. In the supernatural, the prophetic word, being able to have words of knowledge. And I remember these people came down the front. And the first guy came down and I started to pray for him. And like it happened, like high definition video reel, like watching a movie started playing out about this guy's life. And I was like, this is weird. So I'm just going to ask, hey, mate, I just see this. I don't know if it's the pizza I had last night or what, but you know, this is what I see. And he was quite emotional. He went off. And then there was like a whole bunch of people I prayed for and had different words for them. And at the end, they all individually came up and said, how do you know that about me? I said, I don't. There's this one girl, she had a passion. She never wanted to grow up. She wanted to be one of the lost boys of Peter Pan. But I had a vision of her in an Indian headdress running around the backyard like a Peter Pan. And I said this to her. And I said, you know, God doesn't want you to grow up. He wants you to reach teenagers. And so I remember very clearly, I can still see the picture in my mind today. This is like 20 years, like this is a long time, 11, 12 years ago, sorry. And she came up, she said, how do you know I had a headdress? A headdress like that. I used to run around my backyard and say to my parents, I'm never growing up. And she said, it just says, God sees me. He knows me. And I was like, that's powerful. And then this one young guy comes up and he was sharing about this story because I had a vision for him. And, you know, he was sharing, that's really crazy and thanks so much. I ran into this guy 3 months later. And it was powerful because he comes up to me. He goes, Az, I've got to tell you something. You know that word you gave for me? And I said, yeah. And he goes, it's really restored my relationship with my dad. So what do you mean? He said, you have no idea. He said, my dad and I, we kind of hate each other. Like we argue a lot. We're always at each other. He goes, I've got 5 older brothers and we're both Christians, but we just never see eye to eye. And I was back at home and my dad just asked, how was that youth camp? And he goes, oh, it was really amazing. I had this guy give me a word and he explained the word to his dad, told him what I'd seen. And his dad started to cry. He said, Az, my dad doesn't cry. My dad started saying, you're my son. You're my son. He's like, yeah, dad. Yeah, cool. So what are you talking about? And he says, son, he said, you know, all your brothers, none of them in church. He said, I've actually given up on a word that was given to me 20 years ago. The word I was given was one day my son, and it was exactly the same vision. One day, one of your sons will do, he goes, it was 20 years ago. And I thought it could have been your brothers. They've all walked away from God. And I've always thought it's not you. I'm like, geez, it's a weird relationship, you know? But he said, but my dad was repentant and it's just restored and healed our relationship. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That has nothing to do with as. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. Spirit and truth. And it's anchored in what God had for his life. It was an encouragement. It was uplifting. It was connected to the heart of God. See, the thing is, sometimes people can give you words and it's not connected to the heart of God. It's not connected to scripture. It's real weird. It can send you on a real wild goose chase. It needs to be connected to the word of God. Spirit and truth. It's important to have both. Maybe you're here today and you're feeling and sitting and you're just like, I know what you're talking about, Az. I've come from a traditional church. I rocked up at Beacon Church. I've been here for a while. I've seen some stuff. I've come to some of your worship nights. It's kind of weird. I sit at the back and I leave early. Church, if you're someone who has not experienced everything God has for you, seek it out. You will find it. God wants to lavish good gifts upon you. Don't be stagnant in your faith. He wants to supercharge your faith through the Holy Spirit. If you're someone here that you've just chased experience your whole life, feelings, I don't feel God anymore. I don't feel him anymore. I don't see him anymore. I feel dry. That might be because you don't know the word of God. It is food for your soul. And it's going to take you to get disciplined, get to a Bible study, do whatever it takes. Download the YouVersion Bible app on your phone. There are Bible studies on there. You can work through yourself, but be disciplined because God has a holistic approach to life for you. To wrap up this message, as I was looking at this passage, there's more than this. There's so much more in this passage. But what's powerful is that Jesus is actually calling out a new kind of worship again to this woman of what worship would look like once the Holy Spirit comes. Understand the word spirit itself actually means breath. It's the word ruach. And it means breath. In fact, the ruach, the breath of God, was breathed into Adam's lungs that brought him to life. Where the Spirit of God is, there is life. Without the Spirit of God, there is death. Every breath in your lungs was breathed there by God himself. So what he's actually saying to this woman, there's going to be a time where we worship in spirit. There's going to be a time you're going to worship me with every breath you have. Second, the word truth in Hebrew is actually emet. And emet actually means alpha and omega and everything encompassed within the alpha and omega. All knowledge encompassed within the alpha and omega is truth. Who do we know is the alpha and omega? Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ himself, everything encompassed within the man that is Jesus, is truth. Jesus called it out. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. Your spirituality will not get you to the Father unless you go through truth. That is Jesus. We worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. He is the living water, the Spirit of God that will leave you that never runs dry. You will never run dry when you worship with everything you are. All of me, less of you. We sang it in that song. And right now, I want to pray for each and every one of us with our heads bowed. I think there's so many people there on one, they're in one camp or the other. But God's saying, would you have both? That's what I'm calling you to. I'm calling you to both. I'm calling you to be disciplined to know the word. But I'm also calling you to be vulnerable enough to let me invade your life. Allow my Holy Spirit to touch, transform, and change who you are. If you're someone who needs the Spirit of God more, just raise your hand. I'm going to pray right now that the Spirit of God will move in your life. If you need the Spirit of God more, just lift your hands wherever you are. Yes, God. Jesus, we are responding in this moment of faith for those that are calling out your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, touch each and every life like never before this week. I pray this week, God, there will be testimonies of your Spirit moving within each and every person that's raised their hand. They will hear your voice, hear it clearly. They will know your voice. God, and they will respond with obedience. In obedience, that's where we see you move in our lives. And so, God, for those who need that spiritual encounter, they need their faith to be more than just a religious duty on a Sunday. They want it to come to life, be activated. God, I pray for activation in Jesus' name across this place. So there's effectiveness within everything they do, God, that they could help see the Redlands won for Christ. And for those who struggle with the Word, I want you to lift your hands towards heaven. If you struggle reading the Word, you know you're not disciplined. You know, you're like, God, help me. I read this. It doesn't make sense. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal truth through the Word. But also, I'm going to pray that you will find people and go and seek out people that can help you learn more in your life. God, for those that struggle in the Word, God, I pray you give them supernatural ability to read the Word, speak through your Word. God, I pray for intervention moments this week where they will come across someone that can mentor them in the Word of God. I pray that there is a discipline that stirs within our heart that says, I'm going to seek out studying your Word because I want everything that you have for me. Every breath that I have, every moment of my life, may I be someone that worships you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.